If you believe what they were singing about, say amen. First and foremost in his attributes is his holiness. And because he is holy, he cannot and will not condone sin. He will not wink at it. He will not just overlook it. It demands a sacrifice. It demands payment. And I'm glad his holiness is what brought Christ to the cross. I bless his holy name tonight. That's what the seraphims were crying in Isaiah chapter 6. They said, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts." I'm here to tell you, there's no one like him tonight. Well, it's come time for our second message tonight. I appreciate Brother Mike Bagwell being with us here tonight and tomorrow night. He is no stranger to camp meeting here in Taylorsville. I'm going to ask Brother Mike to come around and preach to us what God's put in his heart to preach. And I want you to hear him gladly. All right? Now, you'll have to walk with him. He won't stay in one spot. So you just keep watch on him. He'll be all right. I love you, brother. I appreciate you. It's good to have
you. We're going to go to the book of Psalms tonight. If you will open your Bible to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. In the Word of God. It is on my heart to use this short passage. It only has 6 verses, as you can plainly see, and it'll be the text for my comments from Scripture. It is an unusual psalm. It's a different kind of psalm. I don't know that I really, in some ways, enjoy preaching this kind of message. I always try to preach verse by verse, but this is different for me. When God first laid it on my heart, I guess, and maybe I sinned, I didn't really want to preach it. And the reason why, I'll go ahead and tell you that, it fits into the paradigm, it fits into the preaching plan of a crowd of preachers to which I do not belong. And yet I'm in a dilemma because it is the Word of God. And I'm just going to try to preach the text that God has burdened me with tonight. You know what I'm trying to say? I guess you just well say it. I'm not a health and wealth preacher. Now, you might say, and that could be a new term to someone, what in the world is a health and wealth preacher? That's the crowd that tells us, wrongly, I believe, that if you're right with God, that God will always make you healthy. And God will always make you wealthy. And you'll live a life that is cloudless. There'll be no trials and no difficulties. And that kind of preaching is drawing multitudes in America today. It is building a lot of what they call mega churches throughout our land. I hate to think what's going to happen when the bottom drops out. If you want to know the truth, health and wealth preaching. I'm not, in fact, I'm going to go further. I not only do not believe that if you're right with God, he's obligated to make you healthy or to make you wealthy. I rather believe if you're right with God, he's probably going to give you some trials and troubles along the way. I think we grow through those hard times. Listen to the psalmist, 119th Psalm. It is good for me. He's going to tell us something good for him. It'll surely deal with something about health or wealth. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Could I make an announcement? You don't have to agree. You'll pray more in the hard times than you ever would in the good times. Sort of think this fits into the paradigm of Romans 7. You'll be less proud in the hard times than you are. You'll be less proud. Those hard times will humble us, is what I'm trying to say. God knows what he's doing. Then I was sitting back there and I thought this. It's a good thing I'm not a health and wealth preacher. I can't smile like them boys can. I just don't have what it takes. I don't believe. Having said all of that, and having meant every word of it, I'm going to read to you Psalm 128. Every verse, all six of them. And you follow along as I read, please. Psalm 128. It says, a song of degrees, introducing it. Blessed, notice how it starts. Blessed is everyone. Boy, I didn't want to preach that. Blessed is everyone. I hope you'll smile. Sounds sort of Joel Osteen-ish, don't it? Blessed is everyone. But there is a qualification. Blessed is everyone, get me an amen, that feareth the Lord and that walketh in his ways. That's sort of what I want to preach this evening. But what does it mean to be blessed of the Lord? Verse 2. Thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. I think that means God will bless you in your work and on your job. Thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be. Right there, my King James Bible. Happy shalt thou be. Anybody here believe God can make us happy? Hallelujah. And verse 2, and it shall be, give me the word, it shall be what? Well with thee. There are three promises in a row. From all my, he'll bless the work of my hands, he'll make me happy, and things will go well with me. If I fear the Lord and walk in his ways. Verse 3. Thy wife, could I get an amen? This is written to men. Come on, y'all. You're brighter than that. Thy wife, this is written to men. Men who are to be the spiritual leaders of our homes. Men who are to set an example of godliness for those who are around us. And thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. You're not going to believe this. He said, if you will fear the Lord and walk in my ways, I'll bless the work of your hands. I'll make you happy. I'll cause things to go good with you and for you. And I'll bless your wife. I'll bless your wife as well. Could I get an amen? Am I all right so far? And let's see. Thy wife shall be, I'm still in verse 3. And thy children, thy children like olive plants. We'll have to look at that, I guess. Like olive plants round about thy table. Did I just read God could not only bless the man that fears him and walks in his way, bless his work, make him happy, cause things to go. God can bless his wife, get me an amen, and his children too. Wow. And this thing is just getting started. We're nowhere near the end of the psalm. Let me read verse 4. You're following along very well. Behold, that's a way of getting our attention. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. I got to say this. Need some amens if I can get them. These blessings are not automatic. These blessings are not given to everyone without qualification. They are for that man who fears the Lord. We've been told that twice in four verses. Verse 5. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Zion, and I may get to preach it, I may not. It's taking too long to read the text. Zion, that's Jerusalem. Zion, that's Mount Zion. Zion, that's the temple. That's where God's house is. God shall bless thee out of Zion. I think this, you ever drop a rock into a pond, kerplunk it goes, and then you watch those ripples that go out from the point of impact, and they get bigger, and they get wider, and they spread. Oh, if I learn to fear God, if I learn to walk in His ways, God will bless the work of my hands. And then God will make me happy. Y'all see it getting wider. And then God will cause things to go well with me. And then He'll bless my wife. And then He'll bless my children, Zion. Zion, need an amen. And then He'll bless my church. Hallelujah. You say, wait a minute, preacher, don't say you'll bless your church. Says his church, the church will bless you. You'll be blessed. Could I make an announcement? If you'll bless your church will bless you. Hallelujah. If I sit around and grumble and complain about the house of God, I'll never get anything from the house of God. But I'm reading my text. Verse 5, the Lord will bless thee out of Zion and something else. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. What in the world does that mean? You'll see the good of Jerusalem. A lot of these folks lived in Jerusalem. And for the rest of them that didn't live there, that was dear to their heart. Oh, how a Jew loved that holy city of Jerusalem. Watch. If I can learn to fear God, if I can learn to walk according to His ways, He'll bless me, the work of my hands. He'll make me happy. He'll cause things to go well with me. He'll bless my wife. He can bless my children. He can bless my church. Gonna need an amen. And He can bless my city. Hallelujah. Am I still reading the Bible to y'all? Then there's one more verse. One more verse. Verse 6. You say, preacher, I can find nothing in this psalm except blessings. Blessing after blessing after blessing. If I will obey the injunction in verse 1 that is repeated in verse 6. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. Thou shalt see thy children's children. Could I make this announcement, get a half a dozen witnesses here? Everybody don't live to see their grandchildren. It is a blessing from God to get to hold that little darling grandchild, boy or girl, in your, thou shalt see thy children's children. This is automatically, de facto. God says, if you'll walk in my ways, if you'll fear me, I'll give you long enough life. You'll see your children grow up. You'll see your children married. Get me an amen. And you'll see them bear their own children. Oh, one more line. And peace upon Israel. And peace upon Israel. Now, we already had Jerusalem. That's your hometown. Jerusalem, that's where you live or where you go three times a year to worship God and you live there. But now, and peace upon Israel. Let me tell you what he's saying. I won't get many amens here. God could. If enough of us lived godly, if enough of us feared him, if enough of us walked in his way, God could bless the Israel. That's their country. That's their nation. God could yet do something amazing in America. Wow. Psalm 128. I have a little booklet I preach in series. Y'all know that, on hell. My printer said, you sure you want this printed? I said, yep. Somewhere when God gives me the green light, going to go into a revival meeting and going to preach five sermons on hell. Somebody said, that's stupid. That ain't going to work. You better put a little heaven in there. That's what God laid on my heart. I'm looking forward to that challenge. Preaching. We don't preach about hell a whole lot anymore. I'm convinced their churches hadn't heard a sermon on hell in months, maybe years or decades, if you want to know. I'm more comfortable preaching against sin. I'm more comfortable. Y'all ever heard this expression, skin and hide? Well, y'all, I got to explain that. It means rebuking. It means telling people where they're wrong. It means straightening us out. Amen. And we need that. We need that in our days. And then God's done gone and laid this on my heart. I can't rip and snort. I can't name sin. Not and stay true to my text. Not going to be able to preach a thing about hell tonight. All I'm going to be able to preach, blessings, blessings, blessings. More of y'all to be smiling than there are. There's only one thing Baptists that hate to hear more, sermons on hell. They're not popular. They are not popular. There's only one thing I know of a Baptist church that would rather hear less than hell, and that's a sermon on tithing. Somebody say amen right there. We don't like it. We just don't like it. Let's go back to verse 1 in my text. Blessed. Wish I had time. I don't. I would show you how the Holy Ghost ties Psalm 127 and Psalm 128 together. It's beautiful. Makes a couplet out of them. Brother Rick, they are twin psalms. How do you know that? Well, need an amen here. Holy Ghost wrote both of them. How do you know that? Both deal with the family. Both deal with the home. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Psalm 127, for both deal with our homes. And men, my Christian brethren tonight, we need to keep a priority on our homes, on our families, to the glory of God. Psalm 127 ends with the word happy or blessed. Psalm 128 begins with the word happy or blessed. The Holy Ghost couples them together. Wish I could talk about that. I cannot. Blessed. Blessed. Listen to this. The Hebrew word is Esher. E-S-H-E-R. Esher. What in the world does it mean? Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. half as many times in our King James Bible as that word is translated blessed, it is translated happy. King James Version, it is translated happy. I got to say it, you about half amened it already. I got a God who can give me happiness. Hallelujah. Now, that's not the kind of happiness I think that the world knows. Boy, they named that little noun right, happy. Happy, in the English dictionary, is based on things that happen to you. You are happy, hap, because good things happen. You get a raise in the world, you're happy. Your health report comes back good, you're happy. Any good news makes you happy. It's a little bit different with God. Hope I get an amen. God can make you happy whether you got the raise or not. He can make you happy whether the blood pressure's good or not. God can make you happy irregardless of the circumstances. Hallelujah. Blessed. But it is not by accident. Psalm 1 starts out blessed. It is not by accident. The longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, starts out blessed. It is not by accident that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount begins with the Beatitudes, blessed, blessed, blessed. I'm glad I got a God who knows how to bless us. Blessed. Had an old college teacher years and years ago. 73, so it had to be years and years ago. He said, this is the word picture of blessed. Somebody enjoy. Said, the smile of God is upon you. Amen. The smile of God is upon you. I'd rather have his smile than his frown upon me. I'd rather please him than hurt him or dissatisfy him. Blessed. And it starts out real health and wealthish. Blessed is everyone. Blessed is everyone. I don't believe you can drink all week, take God's name in vain, live dirty, impure life, and then go down to church on Sunday and expect God to bless you. Could I get an amen? God's not the author of that. And to preach it is to disobey the word of God. That's not the truth. Blessed is everyone. Here it comes. That feareth the Lord. That feareth the Lord. Oh, I've got to do something. I know you're going to agree, but I have to do this to build my foundation of my, whatever this is, illustration, if it is one. There is not one person in this tabernacle tonight who is any more saved than another person under this roof. I had a man argue that with me once. He said, I've been saved 50 years. He said, there's a kid over there that hadn't been saved but a week. He said, I'll have you know, and it didn't really matter what he would have me know. He ain't no more saved than little Junior is right there. You either got it or you don't. You're on your way to heaven or hell. A fellow told me once, he said, I'm about half saved. Half saved. Ain't no such thing. You're alive in Jesus or you're on your way to the devil's hell. Nobody's any more saved than anybody else. But, hope you'll still agree with me, there are differing levels of the fear of the Lord in our presence tonight. Nobody can stand up and boast and brag and say, I've got the fear of the Lord that is equal to that of the Apostle Paul or equal to that of the Patriarch Abraham. There are varying degrees of the fear of the Lord in here tonight. Boy, you didn't know, amen, that one right is good. I hope you do. Hope you got it. These blessings are for the man that will fear the Lord. What in the world does that mean, to fear the Lord? The Hebrew verb is Y-A-R-E, yare. I can't go into it. I need to look at my timer. Boy, don't it fly. Yare means literally in Hebrew to be scared to death of something. To be scared to death of something. You say, well, that don't make any sense here, preacher. I doubt you'll ever really get saved till the Holy Ghost puts you under old-fashioned conviction and you get scared to death of hellfire and all of its reality, of the holiness of an almighty God in all of his purity. Thank God for that kind of fear. America's lost it, but we need it badly this evening. But Yahweh feareth also carries the connotation, fearing, being scared to death, but carries the connotation of reverence, awe, utter respect, ending in worship. Has anybody come down here tonight to awe, to reverence, to worship Almighty God? Yes, that's why we're here. That's why we gathered in this place. Feareth the Lord. Then they tell me, Yare, as the verb develops, as it matures throughout the New Testament, it comes to mean to love passionately, to love with all of one's heart. I started out, I was scared to death of him. I found out more about who he was. I reverence him. I love him. I appreciate him. And now tonight, I can stand here and tell you, I love him. I love him. I love him with all my heart, God. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I believe my text says. There's some preachers wiser than me, more versed in Scripture, and I'm open to any help after the service is over, but I'm still going to say it. I believe to the degree I fear Him, to the degree that I fear Him, that frees him, that allows him to bless me in these ever-widening circles that he has placed in this. If I can fear him enough, if I can fear him to the best of my ability, if I can learn to fear him a little more, if I can fear him more tomorrow night than I did tonight, if I can fear him more next month than I did this month, I wouldn't be surprised, and I know he's capable a blessing the work of my hands. Making me happy. Causing things to go well. Blessing my wife. Blessing my children. Blessing my church. Blessing my grandchildren. Blessing my city. And blessing my country. Hallelujah. See it, David? It all depends on fearing the Lord God Almighty. Now more needs to be said there. But I can't decide if I want to come back here tomorrow night or got a text in Mark 3 on my heart. So I don't know how God's going to live fearing God. See if I get an amen. If I don't, we'll decide then. Not a one of us here, but we could not fear God more. And more and more and more. If you want a colloquial definition, it literally means to be obsessed. To be obsessed with Almighty God. To be obsessed with Almighty. I'm not saying I am. It'd be a lie for me to claim it, but I sure do want to get obsessed with Almighty God. Oh, it's Paul. It's Paul. Preached about him tonight, son. Paul said this. Believe it or not, I'm going to go with him. For me to live is Christ. First thing he thought of when he got up in the morning, Christ. First thing he thought of when he ate his bread and drank it, Christ. Last thing on his mind when he laid down to bed that night, Christ. He knew how to fear the Lord. Y'all okay? Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. That walketh in his ways. I think that's the flip side, the inverse of fearing God. Let me explain it this way. Fearing the Lord, the fear of God, that's on the inside. That's on the inside. Walking in His ways, walking in His ways. Need about a dozen amens. That's on the outside right there. If I'm fearing Him in here, I don't guess I'll be going to the bear joint Friday night. I don't guess I'll be dabbing around in the sin of the world. If I fear Him on the inside, I will walk right on the outside. Hallelujah. What was it old Amos said? How can two walk together unless they be agreed? I want to be in agreement with my Lord. Hallelujah. And again, I don't want to be unkind. Let me ask for amens. I can read a congregation that not a one of us here, but we could walk in His ways a whole lot better than we're doing. The word ways is D-E-R-E-K, Derek. It means His pathway, the road that He leads, but it also means the manner and the means. It's the heart of an almighty God. Y'all okay? Really, you know what I'm tempted to say, and it's the worst thing an expositor can say. You get down verse 1, you can almost forget about the rest of it. It's automatic. You fear Him. You walk in His ways. Hope I get an amen. I'm trying to brag on Him. He'll get the rest of it done. I don't have to go to Him and say, now, Lord, there are two or three things about my wife. There's some things about my younguns. And I'd sort of, and Lord, if you just sort of do all that, hey, fear Him right, walk in His ways. He knows how to do it. Hallelujah. I'm not regretting it now like I was when I started. I ain't Joel Osteen, but it feels pretty good up here, I'll tell you that. And I'm not apologizing for my Lord. I'm glad He's a God who can. And I don't know how this goes. I believe He'd rather bless than curse. I believe He'd rather bless me than whip me and chasten me. You say, Brother Bagwell, I don't know if you ought to haul on say that or not. In Isaiah chapter 28, God is fixing to drop the hammer on Israel. Judgment is about to fall. The Babylonians are coming. Israel will be sacked. Temple will be, y'all are familiar. And as Isaiah begins to preach the judgment of God, this is what, in our King James Bible, this is what he calls it. God's strange act. God's strange act. God will judge. God will keep His word. It's a strange act when He does, Isaiah says, because God had, surely, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to act like that. I'm just going to see what happens. Surely, God would rather bless me than judge me. I got to just touch. I'm watching. I have a timer. I have to take it in the pulpit. I'm at 31 minutes of preaching. I have to touch on some of the rest of this. Look at verse 2 very quickly. Thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Everybody in ancient Israel, virtually everybody, was a farmer. It was an agricultural economy. Why? God gave all of them a little plot of land, everybody except the Levites. They'd farm on their land. Thou shalt eat. They got gardens. Thou shalt eat. Y'all ain't with me at all. It means their maters are going to do good. Okra's going to come in. The corn's going to fill out. Butter beans are going to be right. Thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Now, I want to preach on that just a minute. Does anybody believe God can invade your workplace? Anybody here believe God can go to work with you? Anybody here believe God can bless the labor of your hands? Well, I do too. I got to tell you something. They opened up in Washington, D.C., a place called the Bible Museum. It's the name of it. The Hobby Lobby men, CEOs and such, largely sponsored it. They had some old manuscript King James Bibles I wanted to see. Washington, D.C. Talking about God can bless the labor of your hands. And I just, in passing, I said, Lord, I'd sure love to see that. Wish you'd work it out somehow. But I didn't have a week open. There was no time. Most of our meetings are in Georgia, Alabama, a few in Florida, and, you know, different places. Nothing up that way. But I told the Lord what I wanted and just left it with him. I was driving home one morning, one early Saturday morning from preaching an Alabama meeting. Cell phone rang and I answered it. As a young boy, he said, Preacher, you won't remember me, but I did. He said, I was just about 18 or 19 years old. I heard you preach in Kansas at our church. He said, I was helping with the youth. He said, since then, God's called me to preach. God's put me in a church and said, I don't know if it'd be love for you to come and preach for us. Said, could you give us a few days? And you always do. I said, son, where are you? He said, I pastor in Maryland, the Baltimore area. Y'all need to go home and look up a map of the country. He said, a pastor in Maryland in the Baltimore area. I said, son, when you want me to come? Amen. I'm going to find a week for that boy, woman. We got to go. It wasn't Debbie. How much? 48, 50, 55 minute drive down there to that museum. We got to go through the. They thought the Clampets had come to town, buddy. I'm telling you, I don't think they knew how to handle us down there. God can bless the work of your hands. Hallelujah. You say, yeah, but you're a preacher. It don't matter if you're a preacher or not. He can bless you either way. You see, what I'd like to do, and I'm not going to be able to do it. Happy shalt thou be. You can buy a measure of happiness. Go see the doctor. Tell him the problems you're having. He can probably dispense you something that will be an antidepressant timeout. I shouldn't use. I'm not preaching against using medicine if need be. If your doctor tells you to take something, you take it. You take it to the glory of God, and you trust God to meet your physical needs. So let me make that clear. But what I'm preaching about, they're cheap ways of getting happiness. Oh my, there are pleasures in sin, though it's just for a season. But I got some good news. I got a God. If I'll fear him like I ought to, if I'll walk in his ways, he'd make me happy, and he'd make me happy the right way. Hallelujah. And you too. Hallelujah. Some of you won't understand this. There's some preachers that will. I'm having a wonderful time tonight. I am at liberty this evening. Amen, Isaac. That's Isaac back there shouting. Amen. You're right, son. It is an awesome task preaching at Taylorsville. Don't tell nobody you heard it from me, but I don't preach to crowds like this. Debbie and I are in a lot of churches, 50 people, 75 people, let me add this, and tickled to be there serving the Lord. But as I stand here tonight facing you, there's a joy bubbling up in my soul. There's a thrill in my heart. I think I would dare say it may be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, there's a peace right now. I'm happy tonight. And I think I'm happier tonight than anybody in any nightclub. I think I'm happier tonight than anybody in any casino anywhere. I'm happy tonight. I'm happy in Jesus tonight. I'm happy in Him tonight, and I want to say that I'm happy tonight, and I won't have a hangover in the morning. It's a good kind of happiness. I'm glad it make me happy. Glad it make me happy. It'll be well. I'm trying to preach it out. I won't get there. It'll be well. Things are, I believe y'all sung about it is well. It'll be well with thee. I'm glad God can make things well when the world doesn't understand what's happening. I'm glad God can, my weeping may endure for a night, but aren't you glad joy will come in the morning? I'd like to preach about the wife as a fruitful vine, the children like olive plants. Time would forbid. I guess without realizing it, I didn't say it too bad. You nail down fearing God. Amen. You nail down walking in His ways. He'll nail down them blessings for you. Amen. Just exactly like He promised He would do. That word wife. Not wife. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. That word vine, Hebrew, it's got a verb behind the noun here. It means to bend toward and to cling to. Try preaching that at a feminist meeting. To lean toward, bend toward, and cling to. They despise it in the N-O-W or whatever that's called. But God's people living like that will get an amen, will achieve and enjoy His richest blessing. Amen. I'll say something to you ladies. Womanhood is under attack in the United States of America. The liberal press would have us believe every woman in the land is for killing babies. Every woman in the land hates the man in the White House. Every woman in the land is liberal in her political say. I'm here to tell you tonight, and I need some feminine amens here. That's a lie. That's a lie out of hell. There's still a godly generation of ladies that love God. They don't believe in abortion. They believe little babies have a vibe. They're alive. They're well, and they're a creation of an Almighty God. And I admire you. And there's nothing wrong with you growing toward and clinging to that man God gave you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, God can bless our wife. That was a delayed amen right there, but I finally got. And then I thought of this, and I'm going to close soon. How many of you believe, Jesus said it, Scripture records it, a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh, one. Mm-hmm. So if God blesses him, guess what? If God blesses him, God's automatically going to bless her. I'm going to say this, you say amen, and I'll go on. Ladies, pray for your husbands. Pray for your husband. Wish I could preach about the grapevine right there a little bit. Talks about her, and she'll be like a fruitful vine by the sides. I think I know the real vine. She's a model of the vine. That wasn't as good an amen as I wanted. I believe I know the real vine tonight. Didn't he say, I'm the vine and ye are the branches? Anybody here tonight and you're hooked into the real vine? Praise God. I may close with this. I got to study in John 15 some time back. I got interested in that business of grafting. Grafting branches into the true vine. It was so interesting. In the Holy Land, there are many instances where a vine will not prosper on its own. Sometimes, Brother Larry, it is not as fruitful with its natural branches in place. You know what they do? A good horticulturist, viticulturist, a good farmer, he'll go over here in the wild somewhere. He'll look around and he'll find him an old wild grapevine. He'll take that old wild grapevine. He'll go over here to the vine he's nourishing, to the true vine, and he'll figure out a way to graft that wild branch into the true vine. Let me stop and try to preach a little bit there. You looking at a wild one. I was lost and undone. I was on my way to a devil's hell. But one day the Holy Ghost of God, he came where I was. He uprooted me from that filth where I was growing. And thank God, thank God, thank God, he put me in. Hallelujah. How to do that? Oh, not just everybody can graft like that. Got to be an expert. Here's how they do it. University of Georgia sent me some help on this. I read it. First thing, you got to take that true vine, that real vine, and you got to cut a hole in its side. Cut a hole real deep in its side. Cut a hole in its side that could threaten the very life of that vine. And there's the vine bleeding. It's natural sap. It's natural juice. Oh my, you know how I got in? Do you know how I'm happy tonight? Do you know how Jesus in my... Cause my Savior, cause the real vine had a hole cut in his side. He became a pure Savior. And hallelujah, glory to God, I got put in. Amen. But, say when they get that old wild vine, said the Holy Ghost has to do some trimming on it too. Has to tear it loose from the filthy earth out there. Trims it down. I guess if that little wild vine could talk, he'd say, oh, that's called old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction there. Oh, he was sharpening me up. Oh, he was tendering my heart. And then when oh my, Jesus is ready, shed his blood on Calvary. When the Holy Ghost got me ready, need some amen, I got put in. Hallelujah. But, I'm getting ready to close. My apologies to Psalm 128. Getting ready to close. Preacher, it looks to me like if you just stuck that wild branch into the true vine, the wind might come along and blow it out. Might be an earthquake, shake it loose. Oh, but the Holy Ghost is prepared for that eventuality. When that farmer puts that wild branch into that true vine, he's got some paraffin wax. He takes that wax, he warms it with a little fire, and that wax sun begins to melt, and it drips, drips, drips around that wild vines, that wild branches insertion, and it drips and drips, and that drip, hope I get some amen, forms a seal. I'm not only a wild branch put in. Brother Scott, I tell you what I am in him because of his suffering, because of his shed, but I am in him. I am in him eternally. I am. Eat your heart out, lost world. Eat your heart out, bars and honky-tonks. Eat your heart out. We're having an enjoyable time in the house of God tonight. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Thank God I've been sealed in by the good Holy Ghost of promise. And I'll promise you, there ain't enough storms of the devil to shake me loose. My wife, she'll pick up some traits of that true vine, clinging and loving. God will bless your family. I didn't get to preach it. God will bless everything that belongs. I tell you, I'm closing. Good amen, and I'm going to sit down. If you'll fear him, see, I didn't get to explain that a lot. If you'll fear him more and more, walk in his ways in an exceeding, growing, maturing way, he will, here's why I need them, he'll bless the daylights out of you.
Amen.
He'll bless the daylights out of you. I'm glad I've got a God who can do that. Praise his name.